Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Just Us Talks with Tisha, which is my weekly radio show where we talk about everything from social justice to politics to various areas and changes in the law. For those of you who are just tuning in and this is your first time taking a listen, my name is Tisha Hillman, and I am a Maryland licensed attorney, or I should say an attorney licensed in Maryland, practicing in the areas primarily of family law. I also do some personal injury and some criminal law. So every week, you know, for the most part, unless I have to be in court or something else, I'm here on the radio show talking about various areas. And I usually like to tell people that I like to generally, you know, talk about something that has happened either in my business or in my personal life or in the lives of people that I know who've asked me questions about their situation. So, you know, there's no telling what I would, you know, will speak about on a given week because, as we know, we live in very, very crazy times socially and politically, and that kind of can tend to drive a lot of the conversation just because people like to talk about what's going on because sometimes it's helpful, I found, for people to have an outlet for some of the crazy that they experience in their lives. So with that being said, last week I talked about some of the things that are happening in our country as it relates to, you know, just the new I'm still baffled every time I open my mouth to say this, but that Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And even though that is true, you know, it's still also true that, you know, there's this federal FBI investigation that's going on over some of the Russia stuff that's been, you know, that's been going on since before the election took place. But I talked about that last week, and, you know, obviously there's new stuff every single week. But you know what? This week I've decided that even though I could literally talk about this stuff every single week and never even make a dent in the level of crazy, I figured that at some level I should focus on my wheelhouse, which is legal things. So this week I wanted to talk about child support modification cases. Now, the reason I want to talk about child support modification is, you know, it's very, very often in my practice, you know, I have people, and it's usually men, unfortunately, because that's just usually the way that things play out. But usually it's men that contact me about wanting to have their child support modified. And, you know, and they don't really understand some of the ways or some of the things, I should say, that impact a modification for child support. Now, if you have a child support order by the court of Maryland, you have to know that in order for your child support to be modified or in order to get a modification of child support, there has to be what the court calls a material change of circumstances. And that material change of circumstances, it can kind of vary. So it's important to make sure that you talk to a lawyer to figure out whether or not they believe that you have enough of a change of circumstances either to file for a modification or if you should expect your child support to be modified by the custodial parent given some of the things that may have changed in the situation. So some of the things that people don't understand that do not change or affect child support, and this usually happens when this usually happens, this question for me usually comes from the custodial parent. So, you know, a mom comes to me and she says, you know, Ms. Hillman, you know, I'm wanting to file for a modification because he just got remarried and his new wife makes a lot of money. Now, here's the thing about that that people don't understand. It doesn't matter, right? Because if you can imagine, you know, you get married to someone that has kids, you don't want to take, you don't want to pay his child support or her child support, right? And so why, you know, if you ask people to think about things in a common sense approach sometimes they can, you know, perhaps make a little bit, you know, help. It can help people to understand things a little bit clearer if you get people to think about things from a common sense approach. Like, if you were to get married, why does it make sense to you, or would you want to pay someone else's child support for children that are not yours? The answer is no, right? Right. Therefore, same way, if, you know, if the father or the mother of your child, you know, is getting married or whatever the case may be, it does not matter that that person marries somebody that has deep pockets or whatever. Or if that person hasn't been paying at all and now they marry somebody that happens to have a job, doesn't matter, because the income is about the income of the parents to that child, not the step-parents to that child. So that's how that works. And so I wanted to make that clear, because I get that phone call more often than I'm comfortable with, because I don't understand sometimes why that makes sense to people. But yeah, so it doesn't matter if the other person gets married to someone else. Their income has nothing to do with your child support or the child support, you know, of your child. Another thing that does not always change the child support is the custodial parent has went and enrolled the child in a private school or tutoring or something like that. That question comes up very often too. And if you think about it this way, think about it in a sense of, you know, you have a child in private school. Oftentimes, the child is in private school not because they have any sort of, you know, special educational needs that require them to be in private school, but it's because usually it's one parent that is pushing private school, and, you know, that person goes and enrolls a child in private school and now is expecting the other parent to pay for it. That's not how it works either. So unless the child has some sort of special need, you know, and it could be something like ADHD, but, you know, it's all a facts and circumstances case. But unless that child has some kind of special need that requires them to be in private school, why does it make sense for the other person, who may have had no say-so in it at all, you go and you, you know, put this child in private school and now you want help paying for it, when the other person had no say-so in whether the child, you know, got to be in private school in the first place? So, you know, that's one of the things that comes up a lot too. But generally, just know that both parents usually have to agree to enroll the child in private school, or the child has to have some kind of specific educational needs that the public school cannot address. And it can't just be, oh, well, I just think that private school is better. Then you pay for it. But it's not the other person, unless the other person agrees to it, you know, just because you want the child to be in private school does not thereby subject the other parent, usually the non-custodial parent, to paying for it. So basically you would have to show that, you know, it's something that is necessary for the child. So if you go to court on this, you know, it's not just enough to just show that it's a benefit, because, yeah, private school may very well be a benefit to the child, but is it necessary? Then, you know, maybe you can get the other parent to have some sort of obligation to pay for it. But just by virtue of a unilateral decision of one parent, that may not cut it. And that usually does not cut it. The same thing with, you know, private tutoring and things like that. So you got to remember that what's covered in child support guidelines are things like health care, daycare, or I should say work-related child care expenses. because that could be either before care, after care, or daycare, right? Because it's usually the expenses that parents have to incur by virtue of them having to have a job. So when you think about it that way, those are the things that are usually, and transportation costs, right? To and from the homes of the parents, right? Those are the things that are usually, those are the things that are usually considered when it comes to the expenses of the children that are covered by child support. But it's not things like, private school, unless it's one of those things that I stated. Now, another thing is you got to remember that in the state of Maryland, as it is in most states, it's about the guidelines. A lot of times people get upset when they think that they have, a child support modification case, but they don't realize that, it's based on these guidelines that, it's a system that the attorneys uses and that you literally plug in the numbers and out spits a number and there you go. But it's not because, one person is doing this. It's never fair necessarily, right? Because I've seen situations repeatedly where it doesn't come out into what my client would consider to be a fair obligation, right? Because think about it. If you are the person with whom the child lives or the custodial parents, you probably do things for the child that the other person, is never even privy to if the children don't live with that other parent, right? Because you got to keep food in the child's stomach. You got to keep a place to live over the child's, roof over the child's head. You got to, consider things like field trips, right? You got to consider things like lights and water, right? All of these things cost money. And so what I always tell people is that it's not necessarily about it's not a 50-50 split in terms of child support. That's not how it's going to be. But it's based on the guidelines that the Maryland legislature has adopted. And, you put in these numbers and you put in these relevant expenses that I just mentioned, and then outputs a number based on, who has a child, this percentage and that percentage or whatever, and outputs a number. But if you are looking for a financial come up, child support is not the way to do it. Trust me, support is not necessarily a come up, because you can have somebody that, if you have three kids by, your former partner, it doesn't matter if you have 15 kids, if they make minimum wage, right? So it's never going to be a come up for you. But I digress. But just know that, when it comes to child support, there are certain things that affect child support and other things that are not. But if you want to know, you have to just make sure that you ask an attorney that specifically, not just any attorney, right? You want to ask an attorney that practices in the area of family law about the things that impact child support, because it may or may not be worth it to you to file a modification, specifically if you're going to hire an attorney to do so. Because what I tell people is this: does it really make sense financially? So sometimes this really boils down to a cost-benefit analysis, right? Because does it really make sense for you to pay a lawyer $3,000 to file for a modification for a child that's 16 years old, and that child support only gets increased or decreased by, $30 here a month or $100 a month or whatever? Is it really worth it? Because you're going to spend more money, chances are, you're going to spend more money trying to collect this money than you would be if you just left it alone. Court, there's no guarantee that the court is going to require this person to pay you attorney's fees or pay your attorney's fees for you. So, this may be a cost that you have to incur when maybe you can just hold that money and just, use it to do something nice for your kids or whatever. But these are just some of the things that you want to that you want to think about before you file. But the most important thing is, first, has there been a change, a material or a sufficient change of circumstances that would basically warrant a modification? And then, even if there has been some kind of change, does it change the child support enough to where the court will likely grant a modification? Another one of the situations that comes up is, say, for instance, you are married and, you know, you and your former spouse, two children together, or more than two children together, and now one of the children has aged out, right? Then, yeah, then chances are, well, no, you will more than likely get a modification in that circumstance. But depending on the needs of the other child, again, you got to run the guidelines first. You got to have the attorney run the guidelines first, because that still may or may not change things substantially. So everything is a facts and circumstances case. One of the things that I tell people is that, again, the financial position of the non-custodial parent when it comes to child support. So if you have a non-custodial parent that does not, or a custodial parent for that matter, if you have a parent in general, right, where one of the parents makes substantially more than the other person and they're completely on equal footing in terms of finances, then that can change things. Because I always go back to the story that I was in court when I first became licensed several years ago. And it was a situation where the mom was the one that was paying child support. And it was for three kids. And I will never forget, the child support for all three kids was $25 a month. And the mom was in arrears for $25 a month for three kids. So that's like $8 a month per child. And the lesson that I learned from that situation and that I'm going to pass on to you guys is this. It's not really beneficial. If child support is about trying to collect money and stuff like that from, and I get about making the, you know, wanting the non-custodial parent to help take care of the kids, but at $25 a month, it's not really worth it. It's a waste of time for $25 a month. So, you know, it's really about, before you have children with somebody, and I hate to say this, but you got to really think about the financial position. Because is it a situation where one day you're going to want that other parent to support their child, and they're not going to be able to just because they don't have the financial wherewithal and they do not really have the skill set. They haven't acquired a skill set or they just don't have a marketable skill set, right, that's going to get them a job that's going to allow them to be able to contribute in any sort of substantial way in the lives of these children. You know, you may want to consider that. And I know that that sounds terrible, but I say that for situations such as the one that I just told you. You know, it's important when you think about these things, because the kids are going to suffer at the end of it all. So, you know, you want to really think about that. One of the other things is what the custodial parent gets a pay increase, right? Now, if you have a situation where the non-custodial parent, right, makes substantially more than the custodial parent, it may or may not affect anything if the custodial parent let me rephrase that. If the custodial parent makes just as much as the non-custodial parent, right, because now you're on level playing field, it may not affect things too much in terms of child support. The child support you know, you hear people, you know, getting thousands and thousands of dollars a month in child support. That's usually in a situation where one person generally has nothing and the other person has a job making six figures, right? That's when you have a situation where someone gets thousands of dollars in child support because the playing field is so unequal. Now, again, please remember, please hear me out. Child support is not about a financial come up for the parent. Child support is about supporting the needs of the child. And if you are the parent that is paying child support, just don't. Child support is an obligation that you have to your children. And I'm not really sure when this came about, but for some reason, people have believed that, you know, the reverse is true, that child support is a debt. And so, you know, basically treating the children as these little cash registers. And that's not how that works. And it's really, really terrible that that is the case. And it's terrible if parents do that to their children because it's not fair. But at the same time, it's also not fair if you are the non-custodial parent and you're making it difficult in terms of supporting your children. So just think about these things before you file for a child support modification in the state of Maryland. Remember what I said. It doesn't matter if one of the parents now, if basically if your kids now have a step-parent that has money, it doesn't matter. That person's obligation is not to your children. They don't ever have to give your children a dime because guess what? They're your children and not theirs. So you don't go out and unilaterally enroll your child in private school and think the court is going to make the non-custodial parent pay for it, because that's not how that works either, right? So just make sure that you talk to an attorney before you do that, because if your child legitimately has a necessity, then you may be able to, you know, the court may be able to require the other party or the other parent, I should say, to contribute to that. But still, that's not a guarantee. And as I stated before, child support is about supporting the needs of your child. But before you file for a modification, there has to be a material change in circumstances that affects the needs of the child. But nevertheless, it all boils down to the Maryland Child Support Guidelines. You want to make sure that you have the financial information for your attorney to run the guidelines before you get to court so that they can give you a realistic picture of what you may be looking at when it comes to child support. One of the other things is just know that if you are the parent that is paying child support, the person that is receiving child support, the parent receiving child support, has no obligation, hear me out, no obligation to provide you with an accounting of what they do with the money that you give them for child support. Now, I have represented men as well as women, and I will continue to do so. And what I always tell people is, you know, if you are the parent receiving child support, you don't have to provide an accounting of what you've done with the money, because the law presumes that, you know, if the Maryland Child Support Guidelines have been applied and all that kind of stuff, that whatever child support is being paid, again, it's not a debt that is owed. It's an obligation that is owed to the children. And therefore, you do not have an obligation to provide the non-custodial parents with an accounting of what you've done with the money. And if you are the non-custodial parent, you do not have a right to receive an accounting of the child support that you have paid for the children. Another thing that I want to also make sure that I let people know is, and it's funny because I really enjoy watching like these like judge shows and stuff when I'm at home. So I like watching like Judge Mathis and the People's Court and all this kind of stuff. And I'm always totally baffled by it. But one of the things that that I see on these shows a lot when it comes to children outside of what I just stated is that did I just lose my train of thought? I think I just lost my train of thought. It was something that I saw this morning on television, on the judge show. That's what it was. Where this was on like Judge Mathis, and like one of the parents, the father, he was stating that he hadn't had a job in 5 years, and so even though he hadn't had the job in 5 years, he assured the court that he was a great dad and that he took care of his kids, right? And the judge is like, well, how could you have taken care of your kids if you didn't have a job for 5 years? This brings me to my final point, and I've said this before in other shows, and I will say it again. Just because you buy your children underwear or clothes or sneakers does not equal child support. Now, I'm not saying that those things aren't good, because they are. However, and I told this to a client once, you got to understand this, is that you saying that you buy your kids school supplies does not open you up to getting a merit badge, right? And the reason being is because who else is going to buy your kids school supplies if it's not you as the parent, right? Think about it in that regard. You don't get some sort of certificate of merit or, a scout's badge or whatever because you say that I bought my kids shoes or I bought my kids clothes. Because that's what you're supposed to do as a parent. So that's how that works, right? And the other thing is it's about making sure that you are contributing and lightening the load of the custodial parent. Because as I stated, the custodial parent has to provide for, shelter and food and lights and utilities and all of these things. And so even if you gave, $800 a month or $900 a month for child support, that's still going to come nowhere close to what the custodial parent is having to do on a monthly basis if they are charged with providing all of these things for the children. So, oftentimes I try to let my clients know if they come in and they're upset about their child support being, over $1,000 a month, that, if you really think about it, you're actually making out because you're not the one that's staying up all night with, feverish children and things like that because you get, because you're maybe have the kids for a weekend or whatever. You're also not picking up the financial, you're also not picking up the financial responsibility that you would have if you were the custodial parent. And I know that that's still a sore subject for a lot of people because, I've certainly had my fair share of clients who want to be the custodial parent, but it just did not go their way in court. But what I say is this, at the end of it all, it's about the kids. And so child support is not a debt that you have to pay the other parent, but it's an obligation to supporting your kids, right? And make sure that if you have any questions about child support modifications on what expenses are considered in child support expenses or any questions about the Maryland Child Support Guidelines, make sure that you give my office a call at 301-744-7996. If you have any questions about your particular matter, you can certainly call my office and schedule a consultation. And, we can walk you through what you need in order to, to move forward with a successful child support modification case. But make sure that you join us back here next week, Wednesday at 10 o'clock every week on Just Us Talks with Tisha. Thank you for tuning in and have a great week. Take care.